This is The State of Things. I'm Frank Stasio. Duke University's Center for Documentary Studies has a mission of being at the crossroads of documentary work and academia. CDS started the Full Frame Festival, though it was called Double Talk at the time. The center is also a showcase for new work in audio, video, and still photography, and it's a training ground for a generation of new documentary artists. Tom Rankin's been director of CDS for 15 years. He already did step down from that role this month. Tom's a professor of practice of art and documentary studies and the director of the MFA program in experimental and documentary arts at Duke University. So he's still got a job.
Still have a job.
Welcome back. But tell us what CDS was like 15 years ago when you started as director.
Well, it was actually a very wonderful place with a visionary mission that the three founders had kind of planted there, and a director, Iris Tillman Hill. But I think I came in 98 and with an idea that a lot of the vision for it was not fully realized. I felt like it could have a bigger impact on campus. It could certainly have a bigger impact out in that other world that gets called the community or whatever it gets called. I thought we could teach more courses. I had all kinds of very idealistic notions that I could do all that very quickly. And it had a great staff. We had been publishing Double Take magazine, which was critically acclaimed and financially challenging. But there was the foundation was there for all the things we've done. And I think that's, you know, it was an embryo at that point. Really, I didn't see it that way, but it had only been around for a handful of years, depending on when you want to date its origins. So let's say 1989. So it had been around, you know, less than 10 years.
Well, if you accept my characterization as a crossroads between sort of documentary work, the documenting the outside world and bringing it back to that world, and the academy, where a lot of research is done, when you said the vision had not been fully realized, well, I'm guessing if you're housed at a university, maybe the academic part was pretty strong, but the outside world not as well connected at that moment?
Yeah, I think it was some of that, but I think also there was a sense of so often we see it as what I call a false bifurcation, that you have to be one or the other. And I think there was a little bit of an identity crisis of how can you be both? And I actually think that most of the most interesting things that happen around us happen on the edge of at least two different things. And so it made perfect sense to me that, yes, we could be fully formed in that other world, and we could have, as we do now, 20 courses a semester for undergrads. I think when I came, we had one or two. We could have a continuing studies program. We didn't have one then. And all of that wasn't putting more weight on campus than in the community, but we could do it in a way that they were integrated. And that's really so when I came, there was work going on in both pieces. I like to say the center has one leg on campus and one leg in that other world, if it's a two-legged beast. and we were doing that, but it just wasn't as integrated, and it wasn't as sustainable.
So over that 15 years, how has it changed in terms of the output, what I would recognize as what's coming out of CDS? How has that changed?
Well, one of the interesting things to imagine is when we 15 years ago, we were teaching one or two courses to undergrads. We're teaching 20 now. We weren't teaching anything to do with audio or radio. We now are
seen. Well, there's no future in that, pal, let me tell you.
We're now seen as one of the places that documentary radio is really taught.
And good stuff.
We weren't teaching a documentary video class when I came. We didn't have a teaching wet darkroom. There was no digital labs then because digital was just beginning. Mm-hmm. So we've seen a flowering that has been both very intentional and has also been the result of the democratization of media through the digital arts. I have to say that documentary has never been cooler than it is right now. We didn't make it cool, but as I've said before, we were documentary before documentary was cool. And it's really sort of organically grown simultaneous. The film festival, the first Double Take Film Festival was in 98. It was not large like it is now, but it was a major national moment. There wasn't a documentary film festival in America.
Well, Well, talk about that democratization and what that does to the role of an institute or an institution like CDS. I mean, what role does it play when anybody with a laptop, you know, mm-hmm. and a smartphone can make a documentary?
Yeah, and every moment something is being photographed by everybody has a camera now. 15 years ago, that wasn't the case. Everybody's carrying a camera on their phone, so it is both a great, you know, it's both wonderful news that everybody can be a documentarian, and it also is a really stark reminder that just because you have a microphone doesn't mean you have something to say. Maybe I'm a case in point right now. but that storytelling is the bedrock of the documentary arts, and having something to say and being able to craft it so that it is compelling and it lasts. I like to say documentaries often now or never. So it also means, well, you know, what's your story? What are you talking about? Is this important? Flannery O'Connor says there's no more humble act than storytelling, and talks about it as a kind of primitive act. And it's all about, you know, trying to make people who may not want to see and who may not want to listen.
What do you think she meant by that? Why is it a humble act to tell a story?
Well, because we all do it. And I tell my students that the documentary impulse is not taught at a university. We all have the documentary impulse. Every family documents, they have family albums, your grandparents tell you stories. Those are documentary impulses, I argue. So what we're doing at the center is taking that humble act and figuring out ways to do it distinctively, to do it sometimes as an affirmation. Documentary can be a great affirmation, but it can also be a great condemnation of what's wrong in the world. Oftentimes it's a little bit of both. I used the example of, you know, a migrant farm worker there's a great affirmation in their life and in their tenacity and in their endurance, but there's also a reason to change the conditions they're in. And so we take that humble storytelling impulse and think about how it can be crafted to really make a difference and to live both on campus and off.
It seems to me, though, that the challenge of a center like CDS in an era of this explosion, this proliferation of documentarians, is the impulse to impose a rule of law that says, no, look, folks, now this has gotten out of hand. Here's how you do it. Yeah. But, you know, on the other hand, you know you're going to learn something. There might be something out there. Is that a struggle? Do you have to sort of fight that impulse to say, oh, this has gotten out of control, here are the rules?
I think that institutions, one way, I'll come at this from the back side, but institutions tend to set rules, even if they don't intend to. They become doctrinal. And I have been very adamant that a center is a crossroads, as you said, is a meeting place, often for contested ideas, and that we shouldn't be in the business of calcifying or making doctrinal the way to go about this. And that can be uncomfortable at times because it can be messy. Anything is not possible, but we do want to, as our MFA program, the Experimental in Documentary Arts, we do want to push the edges. At the same time, I think you're right that in this moment, there is a difference between taking some cell phone pictures of something happening on the street corner and doing a documentary project about that street corner. One is a passing moment, and the other is sort of staying put and reflecting and really engaging and reciprocating and a lot of the values that we see as integral, that I see as integral to documentary.
Yeah, I heard you talk about the importance of being there when it comes to making a documentary.
Yeah, it's one of the few, you know, in this virtual moment or many moments, you can't do documentary work and not be there, I think. It is about being there, and it's about maybe taking knowledge that you found in the library and then going out into that place and standing there and seeing, measuring what it feels like, taking some account, bearing witness. And being there is enormously important. I've often say that all documentary is local because you can only do it where you are. And that puts it in contrast to lots of things that we are interested in and should be interested in and do. on the web. I mean, you know, Facebook is not a bad place, but it's not documentary. It's not the documentary place in my world.
Well, and it also creates an interesting way of contrasting documentary work with academic research, in the sense that, and I'll posit this, and you can tell me what you think, is that if you're going to do a documentary, you're going to have to develop relationships. You're going to part of it is going to have to be personal. And I know you've used the term bearing witness, and I don't know if that's any part of it, and in a way distinguishes a documentary from an academic track.
Yeah, I think, you know, I came to this in part, to documentary work, in part because as much as I enjoyed being in the library, it makes me restless, and I want to go out and get on the street. And I think that there's a way in which documentary work is experiential. It is academic, but it's also very much experiential, and it's taking putting aside this notion that there is a kind of objective research approach. It is personal. We see things through our own eyes. The photographer, you ask questions through your own experience of me, and it's acknowledging that, and at the same time trying to get to a truth, the truth of having been there. And making that story the kind of truth that other people will believe and feel driven by, compelled by, moved by.
But part of that credibility and compulsion or compelling nature of a documentary has to do with the form, with the way you received an answer. It isn't just a quote, right? It's somebody who had tears running down their eyes or a giant smile on their face. Which comes from them, so it's a very subjective look, and also the relationship between them and the documentarian. They elicited or an honest response.
Yeah, the relationships are key, and I think that people that do documentary work, I tell my students sometimes I'm not so sure that doing this work isn't just an excuse for having some really significant relationships all over the world, and that as much as people will say to me, well, how do I get access to the fishing community in X, Y, and Z, I often say, well, getting access is easy. Getting out is difficult because you will build relationships that will keep you there for the rest of your life. And I think that is integral. Now, there are documentary projects, and we all know some of them, that are about pointing harsher fingers of judgment, say, that are not about building relationships so much as trying to do something now to better something later. And that's also what's interesting about documentary work is it isn't one thing, and there isn't one rule.
The big tent. And you've also talked about the role of the insider and outsider, and then both of those roles or perspectives can be important in producing documentaries.
Yeah, I think that we tend to really value often, you know, an inside perspective, and I certainly do. At the same time, we've learned so much from outside perspectives on all kinds of things, on the civil rights movement. We wouldn't have seen what Bull Connor was doing from the inside perspective. We needed outside perspectives. So there are times, but on the other hand, to really understand the life of a coal miner, to hear it from the vantage point of the person who mined the coal is an inside perspective that is enormously valuable. I also point out that when we do documentary work, even of our own family, and when I take photographs of my kids, I'm both an insider and outsider at that moment. I'm stepping back a little bit to see something. So I'm not I'm a half participant, let's say, in that moment. And so I think we have to be careful about valuing inside or outside too much. It's a blend. It's like the blend of the personal and the political.
Your work, your personal work, you're a photographer, and most of your work is in photography. How has being the director of CDS affected your work?
Well, I think sitting at the crossroads and seeing so much work come through the center and seeing so much, being around so many students, we probably have 300 undergraduates coming through. I learn an enormous amount from that kind of engagement. From people who don't have any rules yet or don't have any habits, good or bad, and the accidents that you see. And I also, I'm very interested in the history of documentary and write some about it. And so being at the center has just sort of broadened my understanding of this big tent we call documentary. What I'd also say is while I've been director, the gestation period of my own work has been more like the elephant, which has the longest gestation of mammals, and I'm looking forward to getting back to something closer to a goat.
which you own.
Which I own.
Yeah. You stepped down as director, but you're still going to be busy with the MFA program and teaching. You'll still
That's right. I'm going to teach and run our MFA program, which is entering its third year and is its own in its own early stage.
Tell us about the woman who replaces you, Wesley Hogan.
Wesley Hogan is a remarkable historian, PhD from Duke. Her work on the civil rights movement and her book on the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee, SNCC, won the Leland Smith Award. She comes from Virginia State University in Virginia, and I think will bring a kind of energy that people will recognize very, very early and a very vital energy. I think, you know, 15 years is enough time for one person to kind of determine the DNA, the daily DNA of an institution. And I'm really looking forward to seeing, you know, the infusion of new ideas. Not that new ideas replace old ideas, but they sit alongside in this whole notion of a center and air moving in and out and people moving in and out and ideas moving in and out. So it's a wonderful.
Well, it'll be great to have her on the show as the new director of the center, and you too, because you're still around. Tom, this is the best of all worlds for us. I know that.
Well, thanks, Frank. It's a great place, and I've been lucky and privileged to be able to run it for 15 years.
We'll have you back. Tom, thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks so much.
Tom Rankin, professor of the practice of art and documentary studies and the director of the MFA program in experimental and documentary arts at Duke University. And that's our program for today. Thanks for listening. This is North Carolina Public Radio. It's a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. I'm Frank Stachow.